The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Did you know that over 95% of all businesses fail within the first 10 years? By listening in to what Bob's guests have to say, plus direction from Bob Pritchard himself, it's our intention that you won't be among those statistics. Now, here's your host, Bob Pritchard.
Welcome to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show, the straight-talking business show that's dedicated to assisting entrepreneurs like yourself to be more successful. I'm coming to you tonight from London, where it's 1 degree and freezing cold. Worse still, it's 1 a.m., but I'm still up. I guess it's great weather for a romantic evening inside near an open fire with a glass of red wine. Being successful in business is really tough. The fact that 97% of all businesses fail is proof of that. Now, this program is all about helping you, no matter where in the world you are. And we've got listeners on 5 continents, so I want you to get in touch with me. Be my contact. Go to my website. Subscribe to my newsletter. Tell me what you think. Share your ideas and your criticisms, and let me know what you'd like me to talk about, because this show is about helping you. You know, the great thing about today's business environment in almost every country in the world that's got free enterprise is that if you have a great idea, commitment, and perseverance, you can be whatever you want to be. I was reflecting the other day. I was born dirt poor in an inner city suburb, and my father died when I was very young, and it was really tough. And I look at where I've come and that journey, and I guess I'm proof that if you work hard and are committed and keep focused on what you want to achieve, you can achieve anything. Today, I want to tell you a great story. In 2003, Ryan Ellis dropped out of the University of North Carolina to launch iContact, an online marketing software company. He had a co-founder, Aaron Horton. Now, 8 years later, he runs a 280-employee company that serves 1 million customers, brought in $50 million in revenue in 2010, and he's got offices in Raleigh, Miami, and here in London. He dropped out of college because he figured out he had little to lose, and he could always go back to school at some time. When he was 11 years old, for $5 an hour, he taught senior citizens how to use the internet to keep in touch with friends and family. By 14, he'd moved on to website design, and at 16, founded a web marketing consultancy. For the first 3 years following the launch of iContact, he worked without a salary to keep costs low. How did he survive? Well, he lived in the office, sleeping on a futon, cooking on a George Foreman grill, and showering at a friend's house every few days. He once jumped into a dumpster to recover the proof of purchase tag from a chair box so that he could claim the $50 rebate. They worked as many hours a day as they could to stay awake. Their fundraising strategy was simply to acquire customers and reinvest whatever revenue they'd got. They started by giving iContact away to the local sandwich shop, which was called Jimmy John's, where they put a fishbowl on the counter for customers to drop in business cards. Once a week, they'd collect the fishbowl and type the contacts into Jimmy John's newsletter web base. When they began seeing an increased return visits from customers, Jimmy John's became a paying customer, their first revenue. Now, by September 2003, iContact had 10 customers. Bear in mind, Aaron Ryan is still a kid, and he hired their first employee to help with customer service and marketing. By the end of 2003, they had 12,000 sales, but it cost them $17,000 to get them. Now, this is a pretty common story. I have people contact me every day with this sort of story. They'd spent a year of their lives building eye contact, and all they had to show for it was $5,000 in losses. Their sole server crashed that Christmas, bringing the website down, and took the product offline for a week. Most of their customers left them. But they persisted. Eye Contact had a basic business model. They charged between $10 and $699 a month to manage a client's contact database, send out emails to customers and to potential customers, and track the results. The average customer paid $50 a month and remained a customer for 3 to 5 years. They found that on average, it cost $500 to acquire a customer who would pay them $2,000 in revenue over time. So it was pretty clear that if they could invest more in marketing, they could grow the company profitably. But they needed outside funding to make that happen quickly before other companies came in, filled the niche, and the opportunity disappeared. That's a pretty common story for many of us. I have lots of people send me emails saying, I've got to get some funding so that I can grow this business quickly. In 2006, they hired a CFO to help raise $500,000, which they invested primarily on pay-per-click ads on Google and kept a close eye on return on investment. They saw for every dollar spent on Google, they earned $5. So they kept scaling the advertising model and doubled in size from 12 employees and $1.3 million in sales in 2005 to 30 employees and $2.9 million in sales in 2006. With the scalability of the model had been demonstrated, Eye Contact closed an additional $5.3 million in funding in 2007. Now, you think that only a couple of years earlier, they had 10 clients and lost $5,000. They invested in building out their senior management team, hiring experienced head of technology, sales, support, and marketing. By now, Ryan was 23, managing a 100-employee company and overwhelmed with his newfound responsibilities. But his saviour was he'd surrounded himself with a very strong executive team to help him and support him the whole way. So over the next 2 years, Eye Contact revenues grew 271%. They ended 2009 with $26 million in revenue and 500,000 users. Now, the execution was hard work over a few years, but the formula was very simple, works for everyone. Build a product customers love, market it aggressively across search engines, websites, partners, and radio, and you'll succeed. Their success turned bittersweet when co-founder Aaron was diagnosed with thyroid cancer in 2009. He underwent surgery and happily was declared cancer-free a year later. But the episode made them reflect deeply on their current situation and their goals. They wanted to build the company in a way that represented their belief that businesses earn the best financial returns when, in addition to giving good returns to shareholders, they make a long-term difference to the community in which they work. They launched a program called the Four Ones, under which they would donate 1% of the company's payroll, equity, product, and employee time to local and global communities. They hired a corporate social responsibility manager and became a B Corp, a designation from a non-profit organization called B Lab, certifying Eye Contact was a socially responsible company. They also firmly believe that to attract the best people, you must create a fun environment and have a deep sense of collective mission. Now, in 2010, they closed on a $40 million round of funding, which they hope to use to grow a $500 million in revenue in the near future. Now, their customers now send 1.5 billion emails every month to their subscribers. They've come a hell of a long way in just 10 years from the days of sleeping in the office and eating ramen noodles every meal. But it just shows you what you can do as long as you are focused, surround yourself with expert people, are totally committed, and are a good corporate citizen. I think that's really important. What a great story that is. Now, if you have a great story and you think the world would love to hear it, please send me an email to bob@bobpritchard.com. Again today, I'm devoting the whole last segment of the show to answering your emails. And remember, if I read your email on air, you'll receive a copy of Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, How to Blitz Your Competition, which is my step-by-step guide guaranteeing that your business is a success. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about simple business mistakes that companies make. This week, I've got another one. It's amazing to me how many businesses make it difficult for customers to deal with them. I mean, how often have you been on the web and found it almost bloody impossible to fill out the forms and get everything right and send it through? I mean, it's really tough. Most businesses do business from 9 to 5. That's fine. But you must be prepared to do business when your prospects are ready to do business. If that's 2 o'clock in the morning, you need to be ready. Now, with technology that's available now, there is no excuse for businesses not to have a 24-hour phone service at minimum. Preferably, take orders on the web 24/7, 365. Even a simple answering machine can work wonders in this area if utilized as a marketing and sales tool. You must be fanatical about serving your customers and causing positive impact on your prospects. You must focus on their needs consistently. Think of how you want to be treated when you do business with someone. I mean, really think hard how you'd like to be treated. And then treat your customers in exactly the same way. You know, most businesses never, ever walk a mile in their prospect's shoes. Why else would they make doing business with them so difficult? You know, if somebody walks into your store, how well trained in service and product knowledge are your salespeople? How much time have you spent in preparing their dialogue, questions and advice so that they can give great advice to customers? If somebody calls your company and your switchboard operator is their first contact, can your operator make a motivating, compelling response to the customer or the prospect's requests and make them feel welcome and that you need their business? How willing are you or your people to answer questions and render truly informative advice? Even if it sometimes might not result in a direct sale. How well do you keep customers updated on the status of their orders or their back orders? These are questions that you must answer on a regular basis so that you can keep on top of the flaws your prospects and customers see every time they do business with you. By making it easy, appealing and convenient to do business with you, you will attract more customers and more customers will consistently return to your business. If you would like more information, send me an email at bob@bobpritchard.com. If you want to know more details about the 15 keys that will guarantee success, pick up a copy of my book, Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, at your local bookstore or at Amazon. I saw it today just down the road at Waterstones. Don't forget to let me know what you'd like me to discuss on the program. Go to bobpritchard.com, tweet me, email me, contact me on LinkedIn, send a bloody carrier pigeon. I really don't care. Just get in touch and let's get these countries and businesses really moving again. I'll be back in a couple of minutes with my first guest.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Do you want your business to achieve results you never thought possible? Bob Pritchard is recognized as the Business Leader's Advisor and has 30 years of experience as a straight-talking troubleshooter for Fortune 500 companies and SMEs across the world. Whether you need a checkup across all departments of your business or simply want to improve marketing, advertising, performance measurement, or some other area, Bob Pritchard will work his magic so you can blow away your competition. Bob Pritchard is also one of the most in-demand speakers in the world. Over 1,500 clients on five continents and countless standing ovations are a testament to how he changes the fortunes of business. Pick up Bob's new book, Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, at your nearest bookstore or visit Bob's website at www.bobpritchard.com. Remember, if you want to be successful, call Bob Pritchard now. Worldwide phone numbers and more information can be found at bobpritchard.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. To connect with Bob, please send an email to bob at bobpritchard.com. That's bob at bobpritchard.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bob Pritchard Straight Talking, No Bullshit Radio Show. I really do appreciate you being with me today. In this segment, we talk to successful people in every endeavor of business who can help you, the small businessman, become more successful. A lot of the emails we receive here at the Bob Pritchard Show are about how we use the internet and new media in general to build our business and reduce our traditional media costs. On the show today, I'm fortunate to have Monty Hipsch, who is a dual citizen of the US and Australia, as am I. In the US, Monty worked with the Space and Shuttle programs and is now one of the very limited number of Google AdWords Premier Partners. Monty holds the Google Analytics Individual Qualification and he completed the first Google Apps training at the Googleplex in Mountain View, California in 2008, an area in which I'm very familiar. So if it has anything at all to do with Google, Monty knows it. Monty, we appeared on the same conference about 10 years ago. It's a long time between drinks, but it's great to speak to you again. Welcome to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, too.
Mate, it's 50 years today since John Glenn blasted into space. Do you miss the time you're with the space program?
You know, I do, and when I tell people that, you know, I used to be a rocket scientist and they ask me what the hell am I doing with a search engine now, it is interesting. There are 20 countries in the world that have a space program. There are only 4 countries in the world that have a search engine.
Wow.
Russia, China, Korea, and the U.S.
Okay, that's interesting. Jeez, that's quite surprising, actually. Now, has Google flatlined?
Well, they were a bit evasive on that topic when they had their fourth quarter earnings report, because effectively, while search is still growing, their EBIT is flattening out, because as we've learned how to use Google AdWords better and better, there's less and less click inflation, and so the actual cost per click, yeah, in many cases has been going down, not up.
Right. So are people moving from the algorithmic searches to social searches? Is more emphasis being put in that area?
That's a great question, Bob, and the answer is yes and no. We still use Google searches for all sorts of things that we're trying to find, and the death of Google is really truly exaggerated. But having said that, within the last probably 4 years, and you'd be experiencing this, Bob, with your own Facebook page, your Twitter followers, your YouTube channels, more and more often, if we're trying to find some specific information without a lot of emotional charge in it, we'll use a Google search. But if we're going to be determining where we want to go on our next vacation or what's a good restaurant or town or something, we're just as likely to post that question to our friends on Facebook than we are searching Google for restaurant reviews.
Yeah, that's really true. So will Google Plus succeed where Google Buzz and Wave failed?
Short answer is yes, and that's because Google has never done social well, but Larry Page, when he took over as the CEO from Eric Schmidt, said, the only company on the planet that scares Google is Facebook. Just with Facebook's IPO coming out, they're going to be valued at roughly $100 million. Google, who turns over 10 times the revenue of Facebook, only has a valuation of just under $200 million. So, I mean, that's a huge valuation. And so they're scared of Facebook.
Yeah.
The engagement time on Facebook is about 20 minutes a day, while the search time on Google is down to 2. So they need to get social and start to understand it. I'm looking at my computer screen. I've got Google.com open, and for the first time, everything on that screen has always been based around search.
Yeah.
But now I see a plus and a share button in the upper right-hand corner.
Right.
That's the first time that's ever happened. They're at over 60 to 80,000 users now. There's anecdotal evidence that they could get to as high as 400 million users by the end of the year.
Wow.
Larry Page has tied remuneration inside the Googleplex and around the world to the success of Google Plus. You can't sign up for any Google product now, Gmail or anything else, without them automatically creating a Google Plus. It affects search engine optimization, so we've been blackmailed into it. We've got no choice. Regardless of how much you like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, whatever, you now need to add the G Plus. It's not an option.
Yeah, of course, it's very hard to change people's habits once they've sort of, everybody seems to, the major users of Facebook anyway, seem to have grown up with it, and it's sort of almost second nature to them. So hard to knock that mantle off, I guess. So Facebook versus Google in the longer term, you reckon Facebook's got, because by the time Google gets to 400 million, Facebook will be at a billion.
That's true. Facebook clearly isn't going away.
Yeah.
Its business value is sometimes questionable, Bob. Coke and all the major brands have pages there, and they've got a lot of people liking it. But people don't go to Facebook to search for products and services per se. They're there for a different social reason.
Although, I was talking to a guy from Monkey Bars, which is monetizing social media, and they will reward people financially through a system of cookies of identifying what you recommend to your friends. And as I understand it, for example, if you recommend it to all your friends on Facebook that you buy my new book, for example, then every person that does, you pick up not only just a few pennies, but you pick up a good part of the distributor's margin. So in the case of my book, it might be $5, so you might pick up a good slice of $5. So you recommend my book to 2,000 people and 50 of them buy it, you get $250. Surely that will change the whole dimension of Google Plus and Facebook and everything, won't it? Because I can see that taking off much quicker than eBay. I mean, it seems to me that it's easier and much more, much bigger reach.
Yeah, absolutely. And those sorts of people have done some very, very clever things on Facebook. I remember, I think it was IKEA that had a picture on Facebook and said, if you tag the pictures, you can come into the store and collect the item.
Yeah.
So there are people that are doing clever things. Much more in the business to consumer space than in the business to business space.
Yeah, sure. I believe Mercedes is introducing a program where you get a discount off your car depending on how many Facebook followers you have.
yeah, they are. That's true.
So mobile, Apple versus Android.
Now that's an interesting one, Bob, and there's a cultural impact on that. In Australia today, 75% of the smartphone handsets are all Apple devices. They're all, you know, iPhones.
Yep.
And Android is only 25%. Those numbers are almost reversed in the U.S. And it's interesting as well, when you see ComScore and other people give you statistics, the consumption of web content on iOS devices far exceeds Android devices, even though Android has three times the amount of installed base, because Android's on Motorola and Samsung and HTC and everything else, and Apple's only on Apple. But Apple users tend to use their phones much more to access services on the web than Android users.
Apple's a cult, isn't it?
It sure is. Once you become an Apple fanboy.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's amazing, because the even Facebook in their IPO document said, hey, you know, 50% of the people that interact with Facebook do it on their mobile phone.
And
I've just come back from Southeast Asia again, and in those countries, they don't have computers at home. They got a computer they use at work, and once they leave the office, everything they do is on their mobile devices.
Everything will be. I agree with that. I was reading a document yesterday that said that the average person refers to their mobile phone now 197 times a day on average.
Yeah, well, and most people would rather lose their car keys than their mobile phone.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, PPC, SEO, and social. What is next? Where's your crystal ball? What's happening?
That's a good question. I mean, Google's 12 years old now, and they really took over the pay-per-click advertising thing. Search engine optimization has expanded from search engine optimization for your website to search engine optimization for your mobile website, because you need to have one that now renders on all these small screens.
Yep.
Search engine optimization for local, just like Google Places and Bing Places, and then search engine optimization for SEO, so you can manage your reputation. So,
So
it's moving across all those realms, including social. I think social is growing in a big way. We're seeing Pinterest now, where people can put up their own photographic scrapbooks, if you'd like.
Yeah, sure do.
There's fragmenting of even the social networks, with like food spotting and these sorts of things coming out. I suspect, if I was gazing in my crystal ball, I think a lot more video is going to be coming, Bob, and I can't wait to see Kick-Ass Business Marketing Secrets being a video series.
as long as I don't have to do it. It's bloody writing a book like that is bloody hard work, I tell you.
But Gen Yers don't read.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they can. And they consume all of their content on video, and the ability to upload video right from your phone, you know, your iPhone to your Facebook page or YouTube is growing. And the amount of video being uploaded every day is ridiculous.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's clearly an area. Again, the location-specific services, where it knows, my phone knows where I am because of GPS, and it shares my data. And I guess the other thing is, more and more devices are being connected. What we're seeing now is the amount of connected devices to the internet is going to exceed the population of the globe in the next 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your car will be surfing the web, your toaster will be surfing the web, your alarm clock will be surfing the web, your shaver will be surfing the web, your toothbrush, and they're all going to be connected.
It's pretty scary, isn't it? You know, the interesting thing about it is that, I've been around a long time, and I've seen lots of technologies come and go. But, you know, that what sells people are the same old things, connecting with them emotionally, sharing the same set of values as your customer. And, all these things, to me, are just another form of television, radio, or newspapers, just faster more functional, but nevertheless, the same old rules really apply, don't they?
Absolutely. When Kick-Ass Marketing came out originally, how many years ago, Bob? 10?
Yeah, something like that. This is a better one. This is a better one, though.
Of course, it's better. but a lot of the principles of
sure.
Edition 1, if you'd like,
yeah.
Still pertain. I mean, it's, yes, the distribution, I mean, the death of newspapers is exaggerated. I just happen to now read my newspaper on my iPad.
Yeah, I agree.
Television isn't dead, and I stream stuff to my Amazon Fire or my iPad.
Yeah.
And again, quality is the big issue, because now that everybody can be a content creator, how do you determine whose quality you want to watch or listen to?
That's real choice. Monty, thanks a lot for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I hope our paths cross again soon, a lot quicker than the last time. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with Monty, Google him at Monty Hipsch. Google him. See, I got in a plug. Google him at Monty Hipsch. That's HUEBSCH. I'll do that again. HUEBSCH. Or just send me an email here to bob@bobpritchard.com and I'll pass it on to him. I will be back with more of the show immediately after the break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Do you want your business to achieve results you never thought possible? Bob Pritchard is recognized as the Business Leader's Advisor and has 30 years of experience as a straight-talking troubleshooter for Fortune 500 companies and SMEs across the world. Whether you need a checkup across all departments of your business or simply want to improve marketing, advertising, performance measurement, or some other area, Bob Pritchard will work his magic so you can blow away your competition. Bob Pritchard is also one of the most in-demand speakers in the world. Over 1,500 clients on 5 continents and countless standing ovations are a testament to how he changes the fortunes of business. Pick up Bob's new book, Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, at your nearest bookstore or visit Bob's website at www.bobpritchard.com. Remember, if you want to be successful, call Bob Pritchard now. Worldwide phone numbers and more information can be found at bobpritchard.com. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. To connect with Bob, please send an email to bob@bobpritchard.com. That's bob@bobpritchard.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bob Pritchard Straight Talking Business Radio Show. I really appreciate you being with me today. In this segment, I get to speak to a sensational lady that I've worked with and known for probably about 20 years. Jackie Lappin is a master publicist at Jackie Lappin Media Relations. She is one of the pioneer women sports writers in America, writing for publications such as the Washington Post, New York Times, and Sports Illustrated, among a whole bunch of others. She's represented a raft of major corporate accounts, huge sports clients, and has run campaigns for a number of entertainment cable channels. More recently, she founded Conscious Media Relations and has become the leading publicist for authors in America. So chances are, if you've heard about it, heard about a book, Jackie was responsible for that. She also has two Amazon bestsellers of her own, The Art of Conscious Creation, How You Can Transform the World, and Practical Conscious Creation, Daily Techniques to Manifest Your Desires. That sounds pretty cool. Jackie's one hell of an operator. Jackie, welcome to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show.
I'm delighted to be here, Bob. Thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. It seems to me that with the fragmentation of media and the escalating costs, that PR's more important today than it ever has been. Is that a fair assumption?
I believe it is, but it's being done very differently in many cases. A lot of it's going to radio, and much of it is going to the web as well as traditional media. So it is diversifying, but it's also very time-intensive trying to reach the audience due to the fragmentation. You know, you're having to contact a lot more people to generate any publicity.
Sure, and there's so much more competition now. I remember when I started speaking, there was a few of us. Now there's a few million.
This is so true.
So how did you find the transition from general media relations to assisting business people and personal growth entrepreneurs with their book marketing?
Well, you know, having been a master publicist all those years, when I started to market my own book, I realized that there really was sort of a void in the marketplace. Especially for people who were, you know, emerging personal growth authors or business people who were starting to create books as a means to drive business.
Yeah.
And so when I was marketing my own, I ended up having to build specialty lists to reach those markets in order to drive book sales.
Mm-hmm.
And so I more or less became an expert in the field because I was marketing my own books.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a fast learner, so I built massive lists, so 2,000 for my personal growth list, and there's about 400 on our business media list, business radio media list.
Right.
So these shows directly drive book sales. But, you know, really for an author, for, you know, a business person, a book is a really, really important tool to really set them apart from the rest of their competitors.
Yeah, my book, I must admit, has done wonders for me. This is my fifth, but this is by far the best of what I've written. So it does make a huge difference. So how did you make your own books a success? Just simply through massive PR and...
Well, I did an Amazon campaign.
Right.
Well, was one of the aspects where essentially you partner up with other authors who tell their lists, and many of them have anywhere from 2,000 people to 20 or 30,000 people on their list or bigger. And so on a very specific day, they all tell their lists about the book, and everybody, they drive them back to Amazon and buys the book on that particular day.
What a great idea.
And actually, I can't take credit for it. The woman who did it is named Peggy McCall. She invented it. She's the master at it. And I actually work with her and her sister's company to do mine, a company called Hasmark. So they, you know, that was a very successful campaign. And you get to watch your book rise in the bestseller lists. And so I became an international bestseller on this last book, which was great. And we became the number one hot release on Amazon in my category. So that was really exciting. So that was it. And then I used the radio to drive it the rest of the way. And I would watch my sales increase weekly by going on Amazon as a special page where you can watch your book sales. And as I was doing radio interviews, I could actually see those sales increase.
So does that work for any book, irrespective, or is it a certain kind of book that you guys collaborated on, or?
Well, it will work for people who actually have books that they can generate partnership. You know, their books are in alignment with somebody else's book.
Right.
So, so in my case, you know, there's just a lot of people out there doing personal growth, and
sure,
so they were good candidates. But if you're doing business, you have to find people in your market segment that are willing to do an exchange with you, and then, you know, you have to do for them. You also have
sure
to send out when they launch their book. So that's one of the aspects of it. But, you know, it's really important to, you know, not just scatter things. You have to really be very strategic about your book marketing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I did, and it's one of the things that I teach. So I actually have a website called yourbookmarketingcoach.com where I'll take people who have a book and I help them learn how to market that book. And I give them direction and I review their materials and we help strategize. We build their sales and marketing plan before they ever launch the book. And, you know, what you have to do to be prepared for that big launch.
Yeah. How big a role does social media play in selling a book these days?
Well, it's a very important role. You really have to have all the right social media sites. And video is very important. I have a YouTube site with video. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. I'm also on something called Spiritual Networks. All of the different ones, LinkedIn, of course. So all of these are really important to have, and then you need to start working them, you know, building your contact list and building friends and family so that you can, when you have something to announce, you can do this. But you want to make sure that you're announcing your book on those, and continuing a dialogue, you know, blogging. Blog's a really important one, and keep up your blog. So all of those are really important resources.
What, when you talk about a video on LinkedIn, whatever. What sort of a video do you do to push a book?
Well, there's two different kinds you can do. One, you could do a book trailer, and which basically encapsulates the book and has music behind it and gets people motivated and excited. It should be no more than 3 minutes. And then the others are sort of like self-help tips that might then drive people to your book. You know, essentially you're saying, here's a little tip, and if you like it, here's more. Go buy my book.
Okay. Jeez, I thought I was a good flogger. So why should an entrepreneur or a business person do a book? I mean, it's hard work. I know my last book took me like 9 years, but it is a textbooky type book. And what role does that play in your marketing, a person's marketing?
Well, you know, first of all, it doesn't have to be a 9-year project. You know, I look at it this way. One, you're not writing a book, you're writing, you know, 27 different chapters.
Yeah.
So that breaks it down and makes it easier. And there are people who will help you do that too. So I direct people and to resources that can help them do that.
Yeah.
But it's a vital tool to distinguish you in your market. It becomes your new calling card. Now, the one thing you kind of have to understand about a book in today's market, it's very hard to actually make it financially pay off.
Sure.
So what you're really doing is you're using it as an entrance or something that makes people remember you. So you either pass them out, sell them, but you know it's the first line, the first element on your funnel, your sales funnel. You know, you get them in the door with a book, and then you can sell them something bigger, and then you sell them something bigger, and then you sell them a coaching program or whatever it might be.
Yep.
But many business people find that a book is just the ideal way to distinguish themselves and begin to spread their knowledge and to, you know, establish themselves as an expert. That's what you're really doing. You're establishing yourself as an expert and the go-to person for whatever it is. But a book has to be distinctive. It cannot be whatever else is out there. It's got to have its own voice. It's got to have its unique approach and information in ways that other people have not already, you know, saturated the market.
Yeah, I know from my perspective, having a new book out certainly does wonders for your speech career. I mean, all of a sudden people take notice of you again, and then wait until you have another book.
That's right. It's really important. They actually feed each other.
And
you
if
know,
sorry, go on.
You use your speaking engagements to sell your books, and you use your books to sell your speaking engagements.
Yeah, that's right. And you can do very well. You know, it's surprising if you're a speaker as well, just how many books you can sell. I was in South Africa a few weeks ago doing presentations, and we took a pile of books, and they sold out in, you know, 5 minutes. They were all gone. Mm-hmm. At full retail.
Fabulous.
So what happens? Somebody out there has written a book, and they think it's good. How do they then develop a marketing plan and a strategy? What's the process there? I mean, apart from running in your door and paying you wads of money and doing all that.
Well, you know, it's really not, you can develop a strategic marketing plan. You know, you need to spend a little time understanding what the avenues are to market a book, what the resources are that are available to you, what the online opportunities are, and you basically develop the plan before you go in, and you sit down and you can write this. Now, anybody can do this on their own. Sometimes they need a little help, which is when they come to me. But essentially, you know, you want to plot it out. You want to figure out where you're going to be marketing, how you're going to be marketing, you know, where you're going to put your energy, and you got to start 6 months out. So those are the kinds of things. Our radio media tour is one of the really good tools that people really want to build into their programs. It reaches 2,000 personal growth radio shows or 400 business radio shows, or sometimes we do both.
Yep.
And so, you know, those, and what it's nice about that is, you know, these are people that are already willing and able. I'm a big believer in radio, both terrestrial broadcast radio and internet radio, because one of the nice things about internet radio is you get an hour to sell, and the host will probably have read your book, and they're going to help you sell it. They're going to say, oh, this is so fantastic, you really need to get it, and I like this chapter, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
Here's what's really neat about it. You get to sell everything else in your funnel. You don't have like 2 minutes just to give your website like you do on a broadcast radio a lot of times. You're going to get to be able to talk about your opt-in free lure is, what might that be, to get people to opt into your list on your website. You're going to get to talk about your upcoming teleseminar or your seminar program or your, you know, coaching program or your home study program or whatever it is. So you're really, it gives people the opportunity to really market in a way that a lot of time broadcast radio doesn't. So I'm a big believer in the mix of the two. So you really need both. And it's great fun to be able to, you know, activate that for people.
What? Who should write a book? I mean, if you're the local plumber and you write a book on plumbing. Now, if I go to the bookstore, I've never actually looked, but I assume that if I go to the bookstore and I look for a book on plumbing, I'm probably not going to find very many. So is it an avenue where almost anybody can, irrespective of their profession, can put their stamp on their industry and give themselves a really strong positioning?
Absolutely you can, but you just have to find a unique angle. For example, a plumber might deal with plumbing issues in the upper Midwest, you know, and that deals with humidity and cold weather and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, you have to look at it a little bit differently. Go check and see what everybody else has got in the market and then do something different. But it doesn't have to be, for example, for me, you know, a lot of people have written manifesting books. Well, my book is really in the area of manifesting. But I have a very distinctive approach to it, and that is practical conscious creation, the kinds of law of attraction and conscious creation, practical activities and programs that actually can anchor law of attraction into your life so that you become a better, faster manifester day by day. It's not just theoretical. It's not wishful thinking. It's all of these very specific steps.
Pragmatic, so,
Yeah, and it's a distinctive voice. It's a distinctive positioning that sets me apart from everybody else out there.
Jackie, thanks for being on the show. It's great to speak to you again after quite a while. I really look forward to catching up with you over dinner. I'm looking forward to that. That will be great. So, and if you would like to contact Jackie, go to www.jackie, that's J-A-C-K-I-E, Lappin, L-A-P-I-N, mediarelations.com. That's Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, Lappin, L-A-P-I-N, mediarelations.com. And I will be back with you right after this very short break.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Do you want your business to achieve results you never thought possible? Bob Pritchard is recognized as the Business Leader's Advisor and has 30 years of experience as a straight-talking troubleshooter for Fortune 500 companies and SMEs across the world. Whether you need a checkup across all departments of your business or simply want to improve marketing, advertising, performance measurement, or some other area, Bob Pritchard will work his magic so you can blow away your competition. Bob Pritchard is also one of the most in-demand speakers in the world. Over 1,500 clients on 5 continents and countless standing ovations are a testament to how he changes the fortunes of business. Pick up Bob's new book, Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, at your nearest bookstore or visit Bob's website at www.bobpritchard.com. Remember, if you want to be successful, call Bob Pritchard now. Worldwide phone numbers and more information can be found at bobpritchard.com. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. To connect with Bob, please send an email to bob@bobpritchard.com. That's bob@bobpritchard.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bob Pritchard, the Straight Talking Radio Show. Coming to you this week from London, just so that you know, it's 10 to 1 in the morning. Sorry, it's 10 to 2 in the morning, and it's freezing cold. But London's a great town. I've got a couple of good clients here, and I do a lot of speaking in London, so I'm happy to be here. Due to the great response that we've been having from you listeners, the final segment of today's show will again be totally dedicated to emails and answering your questions. Now, I think the reason that this segment is so popular is that irrespective of the size of your business, and no matter what you do,
we all have exactly the same issues. We all have the same challenges. It's interesting. So I'll get an inquiry from a large company, and then I'll get an inquiry from a company that's got three or four employees. I'll have the same issues, just maybe on a different scale, but the issues are the same. So even though I might be answering an email from an owner of a company that makes window frames, for example, the answer will probably also apply to you in your business. And it's also important for people, no matter what business you're in, to look at what other people are doing in different industries. It just broadens your perspective on what you can do to improve your business. So don't forget, if I read your email on air, I'll send you a copy of my book, Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, How to Blitz Your Competition. And this will give you 15 absolutely invaluable keys that are required to make any business a success. Now, my first email today is from Joanne Elliott. Joanne's a computer analyst in Hoboken, New Jersey, who writes, Dear Bob, I've just finished reading your book. It has helped me a lot. At our Chamber of Commerce meeting this week, the speaker talked about the importance of developing your personal brand. I've never heard of this before. Do you think it's important? Joanne, everyone has a personal brand that reflects on the way you're perceived by the outside world or your employer, and can affect whether you get a job, whether you get a promotion, whether you get a sale, and a whole bunch of other things. Your personal brand's it's determined by pretty much everything you do, from the way you present yourself to the tone and content of your emails, the way you speak, your resume, online profiles, pretty much everything that you do. Now, many people have a problem with people who self-promote themselves, and other people don't like self-promoting themselves. But in some professions, for example, like mine and many people who are self-employed, self-promotion becomes essential. You know, in my business, no one's going to hire a speaker or a business consultant or a radio host unless you tell people about yourself and why they should hire you. And that means telling people all of the good things about you. And, you know, you do run the risk of being seen as brash, conceited or arrogant. You know, it's a pretty hard line to walk. You know, if I had a dollar for all the people who think I'm arrogant, geez, would I be rich. But I think the key is to understand your strengths, and, you know, it depends on your commitment and your passions, and then really showcase them. Don't set yourself as something you're not. But in my view, you should sell yourself as hard as you can with the things you've achieved. I mean, I think I've achieved a lot, and I tell people about it because I think that can help other people. And so, you know, you're no different than any other brand, a Coke or a Twitter. You need to constantly sell your best qualities, monitor, update, and tweak what you say about yourself as you go on. Ask others to describe your brand. Google yourself and see how others talk about you. And the bottom line is that your personal brand's important, no matter whether you are an employee or whether you're self-employed. Now, since you have a copy of Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, I'm going to send you a copy of Marketing Magic, which I wrote with Brian Tracy, J. Conrad Levinson, Robert Bly, and a bunch of other people. I'm sure you'll like it. Our second email is from Amborg Ellertson, who has a print shop in Gutenberg, Sweden. Amborg writes, I really enjoy your show, and I'm listening to the archive shows, trying to implement as many ideas as I can into my business. I'm looking for a new staff member, and I have several really good candidates. How do I go about selecting the right one for the job? Amborg, that's a damn good question. In my day, I've made some great hiring choices, and I've also had a few catastrophes. There's no easy answer to this question, but I'll try. Firstly, you need to really understand the role that you need the person for. What do you expect them to do? The best way to find potential applicants is through your network, but if you advertise, collect and review a number of resumes, then speak to their employees and gauge whether or not you think they're being honest. Check their social websites. You know, that's a fantastic indicator of what sort of person they are. Facebook photos in particular can be extremely revealing. The next step is to get the best candidates in for an interview. I always try to throw them off balance so they can't get into a comfort zone. I'll take them for a walk, and my first two questions are, what's your favourite music and what's your favourite film? I know this is pretty judgmental, but if they tell me that it's Johnny Rotten and Friday the 13th, I'm probably not going to hire them. Finally, always have the prospect spend some time with the rest of your staff. After all, you need a homogenous team that has the same motivation and drive. I hope that's of some help to you. A copy of my book, Kick-Ass Business and Marketing Secrets, How to Blitz Your Competition, is already on its way to you. We here at the Bob Pritchard Radio Show are all about helping small business to become more successful and profitable. Don't forget, I want to hear from you. So visit my website at bobpritchard.com, sign up for my newsletter, email me, tweet me, become my friend on LinkedIn, and tell me what it is that you want to talk about. That's it from me today from London. This is Bob Pritchard, and I look forward to broadcasting again this time next week from my hometown of Los Angeles.
You've been listening to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Please join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Until then, enjoy another week of success in your business and your life.